Good morning, church. All right. How are you guys doing? You sure? All right. We're about to find out.
I love you, brother.
Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, may your name be glorified, honored, and adored because you rule over all and your authority is beyond everything that we can imagine and even think about. Father, at this moment, we want to hear you speak to our hearts. Father God, I'm an empty vessel who does not deserve to be here, but God, I pray that you use me to convey your message to your people, that our hearts will be transformed into the likeness of your Son, that we'll believe that you are who you say you are. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Okay, so we've been going through the book of Luke. And we are in Luke 7. So Luke 7, I titled it as Your Faith in Jesus. Okay? Your Faith in Jesus. Sometimes we say we are following Jesus, but when we look closely to our lives, we begin to find out that the Jesus that we say we follow is questionable, you know? So today we are going to help ourselves out to really understand the Jesus that we follow, our faith in Jesus, Luke 7. Now, Luke 7 has a couple of stories in there. And the stories in there are so interesting because they tell us something that we really need to pay attention to. Now, the first story in Luke 7 is a story about a centurion, a Gentile who has nothing to do with God and does not follow God. And to the people of Israel, he has no partnership in God. So the story goes that he had a servant that he valued the most. And this servant was sick and about to die. So he, you know, the people in the community sent to ask Jesus to come and heal the servant because this guy was so good. You know, he was supposed to rule over these people, but he loved the nation of Israel so much that he built them a synagogue. So these people were so impressed that they said, look, Jesus, you know, if you have to do something good for anybody at all outside the nation of Israel, this guy deserves it. So please go help him out. So Jesus said, all right. So he was on his way there. And the guy sent a message to tell Jesus. Jesus, oh, hold up. You know, I don't think you should come to my house. You know why? Because I'm a Gentile. And as a Jewish rabbi, if you enter my house, you become defiled. Okay, you become unclean. That's the rule thing in Leviticus. So, he said, Jesus, you know what? I understand authority. You know, all I want you to do is just say the word, and I know that my servant will be healed. Jesus was stunned by the understanding and the faith of this guy. He turned around and told the people following him that, I have not seen this much faith even among my own people. I had to find this level of faith from a Gentile. Someone who worships stones and sticks understood my authority. Told me, just say the word and I know my servant will be healed. You see, soldiers understand order and they understand authority. They know that if their commanding officer tells them, go into this forest and kill a couple of people, they would have to do it. Because if they don't, there are repercussions. So they hear the order, they just follow. So this guy, from his worldly standpoint, understood the authority that Jesus was wielding. So he said, Jesus, just say the word. The sickness will run. You see, it took someone outside the nation of Israel to see the power that Jesus had. Jesus was so amazed that this guy understood that. First slide, it says, do we have faith in the authority of Jesus? When you think about Jesus, how powerful is Jesus in your mind? Is Jesus some nice, you know, guy? You know, you pray to once in a while. You know, you pray to him. Maybe he will answer it. Maybe not. I don't know. You know, the authority that Jesus has in his mere presence, demons shake because they think and understand that this guy, the power this guy has, he is coming to cause havoc. Have you guys really realized that every time demons saw Jesus, the question they asked was, have you come to destroy us? Like, demons understood who Jesus was, that the power he had was unmatched. See, what is your faith in your prayers? When you are praying, what is your level of faith? Do you pray into the air just that maybe he would answer? Or maybe I have to do this because if I'm asked by somebody that, do you pray? And I say no, it will look bad because I'm a disciple or some, you know. No. Your prayer life is your direct connection to the power source of heaven. Do you understand what I just said? Your prayer life is your direct source to the powerhouse in heaven. You have someone who sits on the throne in heaven who has power over everything, whose main purpose is to answer your prayers. When you are praying, do you believe that? You have to answer that question for yourself. What is your faith in your obedience? When Jesus says you should do something through the scriptures, do you obey or you just think it's a democracy? I have to vote. Should I obey Jesus today or not? You see, in the kingdom of God, it's not democracy. Okay? You don't vote to follow Jesus or not. It's Jesus' way or the highway. You know, there is no democracy in the kingdom of God. So if you are using your worldly mindset to follow Jesus, you are in big trouble. When Jesus says, do this, there is no communication. Let me pray about it. Let me talk to two or three people to see whether I should do it. Let's see how many people will vote, whether I should live pure or impure. No. You just do it. Because Jesus has the authority. Where is your obedience? You see, sometimes we forget because we live in this society where everything is voted on. Okay? Everything is voted on. I'm not going to go there. But you know, you understand. You over here, we don't vote. Jesus says jump, you say how high. Simple. You know. Jesus says love your wife, you say how many kisses in a day. You know? Jesus said, you know, don't exasperate your children. That's what you do. You don't try to find ways to circumvent new rules. No, you follow the rules because Jesus has the authority. Do you understand? All right, next story. So the next story is interesting because it talks about a widow and his son who was dead, that he was going to be buried. Now, you see, in this country, when you guys have funerals, it's so nice and nice. They go into a nice, John, what's your father's place? What's it called? Matthew Funeral Home, nice place. The guy is lying down there sanctimoniously. Everybody cries a little bit, you know, and you drink some juice and you go home. No. You see, back home, when we have a funeral, it's a community event. When someone dies, the whole town shows up, invited or non-invited. We have people crying, rolling on the ground. It's like a whole event. Look, we don't have our funerals in a building because it cannot contain people. It's outside, under tents, because everybody is there. When one person dies, it affects everybody in the community. This is the community style that Jesus grew up in. So Jesus saw this woman's son going to be buried. Let me read it to you. Okay. Verse 13, it says, when the Lord saw her, his heart went out to her, and he said, don't cry. Jesus told the woman, don't cry. You see, in them days, if you are a widow, your husband is dead, and your son dies, it's like present day someone going into your bank account and taking all your 401k account and gone. You broke for life. You no paycheck, no nothing, no 401k or whatever the thing you call it, no stuff for retirement. None. No social security card, food stamp, none of that. This woman's last hope was going to be buried. I mean, do you guys understand that? This woman was done for the rest of her life because her son, who is capable of working and taking care of her, is dead and was going to be buried. Do you understand the pain and the anguish this woman was going through? Jesus walked up to this woman, understanding exactly how she felt, and told the woman, don't cry. Oh, that does something to me. Do you understand that Jesus is our high priest and he is touched by our weaknesses? He understands when we are broke. He understands when we are broken. He understands when we are in pain. He understands when we are crying. He understands when you are kneeling down crying and praying and you don't know which one you are doing. Oh, you know all that. He understands all that. Because he has been there. He knows pain. Next slide. So my question to you is, oh no, number two. Hey. Do you have faith that Jesus will come in your situation? You see, sometimes we think Jesus is so holy and mighty, and we see him with our worldly mindset, that people in high places will not come down low to us down here and interact with us. So we see God the same way. So when we are going through trials and tribulation, in our mind, we know God is there, but we block him out and we try to solve our own issues by ourselves. No. Jesus wants to be in your boat. Jesus wants to be in your situation. Jesus wants to come in your marriage that is going sideways. Jesus wants to come into your house. You see, those rooms that you've closed up and you don't want anybody to go in there, that is where Jesus wants to go into. Bring Jesus into your situation. Do you know the most craziest thing? When we fall or when we are in trouble, we run away from the place we are supposed to run towards. It does not make sense. The one person
who can help you. You are running away from him. Especially when we are in sin.
Okay, I know you guys are nice people. Me, when I'm in sin, I run away from God.
Because the devil makes me think that God does not like me now. But in fact, that is the time I'm supposed to walk closer to God. The point between when I sin and when I pray has to be this close. No gap in between.
Let me tell you something. The times I grow the most is when I'm most messed up. That's when I grow the most. When I feel like I'm doing well spiritually. It is when I'm jacked up. That is when I pray the most, because now I'm desperate. Now I'm reminded of who Daniel is without Jesus. And I'm like, oh boy. I need to more memorize some scriptures and pray more, because this Daniel is no good.
Jesus wants to come in your situation. If you do, how do you respond to your challenges in your life?
Like, if you do understand that Jesus comes into your situation, how do you deal with the challenges that you face in your life?
You see, your response is that of defeat, or all things will work together for good for those who love the Lord. There are differences. When you believe that Jesus will show up, you don't get scared. When you believe that Jesus will show up, you don't get frustrated. When you believe that Jesus will show up, you stay still. When you believe that Jesus will show up, challenges in your life is just an opportunity for Jesus to come and show off. As soon as you see trouble come, you're like, okay, hey, Jesus, okay, what's up? What are you going to do now?
You see, when our mindset changes to understand that Jesus shows up in our situations, I don't care what happens to us. We will walk in this world like nothing happens to us. I believe that our brothers and sisters in the first century church, they understood that. That is why they were able to walk into arenas to be mowed down by lions and bears. They'd be like, do whatever you want to me. When I die, I'm going to Jesus anyways. So they didn't care. But for us, we are so far removed from physical persecution. So the things we complain about, I'm even ashamed to say some of them. But you see, we have brothers and sisters right now in some countries that are hiding to go to church right now. And when we meet them and we have conversations and we talk about our struggles, they look at us like, your car broke down. Like, really? I walked miles to church and I was also fired up to dance. Like, really? Oh, I couldn't find my boots. Okay, your boots, huh? Oh, I don't like to share my faith because people look at me sideways. Well, if I share my faith, I'll be thrown in jail. How about that? All right. Next story is about John the Baptist. You see, John was so fired up, he was preaching and ruffling feathers in. Went and said something against the ruling governor. And he was thrown in jail. John was like, my people,
go and talk to my cousin Jesus and ask him, are you the Messiah that we've been waiting for, or we should wait for someone else? Do you know why John asked that question? John was thinking, my cousin is the Messiah, man. He is coming to come in there, bust some cow, kick that some doors open, and break me out of jail. It's been 2 weeks. I'm still sitting in jail. What's up with that?
Go ask my cousin. What's up? Cuz, you know, I'm still here.
You see, Jesus is interesting. Every time someone asked Jesus a question in the Bible, he would never answer the question straightforward. I believe Jesus is African. He answers a question with some stories.
Proof. All right. So they come to Jesus, right? They say, Jesus, your cousin in jail says we should ask you, yo, are you the Messiah, or we should wait for someone else? Jesus turns around, heals people. The lepers are cleansed. People like healing, like rampant. He finishes, turns around and says, go and tell John what you saw. What? And can you imagine? Okay. You see, back in them days, their jails wasn't like ours now in the United States. I can only speak for United States, because our jails back home, I tell you the truth, if they take these prisoners to our country, into our jails, I promise you, 1 week, they will repent. If you don't believe me, go home and Google prisons in Ghana. Here, they have air conditioning, 3 square meals. They have rights and, you know, a root. What? The old cable. And I don't like this channel. You are a prisoner. Do you ever think of why people commit crimes to go back into jail? Because they get free accommodation. I'm a politician. Let me go back to the Bible. I digress. the place John wasn't cozy. So it was like, yo, my own cousin didn't even come and visit me. Like, he's not breaking me out of jail. What is going on here? And then the people come back and tell you, oh, hey, when we went and we spoke to your cousin, he turned around and started healing people. What? Did he answer the question whether he's the Messiah or not? Oh, no, some cripple was walking by and just healed him. What? John is confused. Yeah. At that very time, Jesus cured many who had diseases, sicknesses, evil spirits, and gave sight to many who were blind. Okay. He replied to the messengers, go back and report to John what you have seen and heard. The blind receive sight. The lame walk. Those who have leprosy are cleansed, and the deaf hear, and the dead are raised, and the good news is being proclaimed to the poor. Blessed is the one who does not stumble on my account. How does that help me in jail? Do you guys see what I'm saying? Okay. After John's messengers left, Jesus began to speak to the crowd about John. He said, what did you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed swayed by the wind? If not, did you go to see a man dressed in fine clothes? No, those who wear expensive clothes and indulge in luxury are in palaces. Okay, let me explain this to you. Jesus mentioned two imageries. A reed swayed in the wind and a fine clothes are two representations of the kingdom of the earth. Okay, in them days, the Roman coin had Caesar's head on it with the reed on the crown thingy as his authority, you know, kind of thing. And the fine clothes, you know, nice dress-up stuff, you know, people in palaces. The people who were listening to Jesus in that day understood what he was saying. In fact, Jesus was asking them, did you go out into the wilderness to look for a politician or a governor or an emperor? Is that what you went to look for? Say, no. Those people are in palaces. Jesus was trying to tell them, the kingdom I'm bringing that my cousin John was talking about, it's not about a kingdom on earth. It's a kingdom where the broken and the hopeless belong. It is a place that does not belong to anything on earth. That's not what I'm here to do. I am here to bring the lost back to their Father God. Slide. Is this the type of Jesus you have a different type of Jesus in your mind? Spelling, don't pay attention to that. I was saying. Now, what kind of Jesus do you have in your mind? That's the question I'm asking. What kind of Jesus do you have in your mind? Do you have the ATM Jesus? Or you have the Jesus who calls you to be the Jesus of this world? What kind of Jesus are you worshiping? Is it the Jesus that if he doesn't answer your prayers, you don't come to church anymore? Is it the Jesus that has to caress your ego for you to serve? You see, the Jesus we are supposed to serve calls us to serve like he did. We have to go back home and have conversations with our pillows and ask ourselves, who am I serving? If Jesus is my master, is my life showing that? If Jesus is my master, how am I treating my wife? If Jesus is my master, am I respecting my husband? If Jesus is the one I follow, how is my relationships with my brothers and sisters in the church? Am I waiting for someone to step on my mental toes to flip out? What kind of Jesus are you worshiping? The kind of Jesus you worship shows how you live. It is not what you say that tells you are a disciple. It is how you live your life that tells whether you are a disciple or not. So if we follow you with the paparazzi videos and stuff, and we watch you at home, at your work, at the blinds to go and shop right and stuff, on the highway, in the traffic, are we going to see some hand signals that are not in the DMV book? I'm just saying, I'm just saying, what kind of Jesus are you following? Do you understand what I'm saying? Who do you have faith in? Have you created your own Jesus and you're living your life by it, or you're following the Jesus of Nazareth? Do you understand? Next. So, this one, I love this one. So, the next story in here talks about the Pharisees. I call them far to see. They invited Jesus for dinner. And you see, after reading this story, I began to understand why this guy did that. He invited Jesus to his house to have dinner.
And when Jesus got there, the Bible says a sinful woman came into the house. He was not supposed to be there, but came in there. And when he came there, what he did shamed the one who invited Jesus. This woman walked in. And when the Bible says a sinful woman, you know, a woman with questionable character, like Daniel, you know, came in there. And because this woman understood where she stood in the grace of God, came in broken, so appreciative that he could even be near Jesus, crying, washing Jesus' feet and anointing his feet with oil. And this oil was not cheap knockoff oil, expensive oil. And this Pharisee had nothing better to say than if Jesus was a true prophet, he would know what kind of woman this woman is, and he's allowing her to touch him. And Jesus is like, hold up. Bro, you invited me to your house. Okay, let me back up. You see, I always talk about what I know. In African culture, if someone comes to your house and you don't offer them water to drink, it's like indirectly telling them, leave my house. Okay? If you go into an African house and they don't offer you anything to drink, they are telling you, yeah, I don't really want you here, so you leave. And you know, the worst thing is, because I've seen people do this, people come into your house and then you start sweeping. I'm serious. Like, you know, there are certain insults that we don't say, but we do. That if you are smart, you see the signs and you start walking. Because if we say it, then you can go and say, oh, he said this and that. No. We do things to carry out messages. Mm-hmm. So Jesus turned to this guy and said, bro, I came to your house, not on my own will. You invited me. When I came to your house, you didn't even kiss me. Jesus is like, I came to your house and you dissed me. I didn't come here by myself. You invited me. You didn't even hug me. That means that you don't even count me as an equal. When I came into your house, you didn't even give me water to wash my feet. You didn't give me oil to cream my ashy feet. You didn't show the common sign of hospitality that is shown to regular people. You didn't even show that to me. This sinful woman that you were questioning me about has cried and wiped my feet with her tears, anointed my feet with oil, and you are sitting down there complaining? All right. You see, the sad thing is, when we get too familiar with Jesus, that's how we treat him. Have you gotten so familiar with Jesus that you come in here with disrespect? We're singing songs and praying and you're standing there looking at your phone. I mean, are you serious? Do you know who we are standing in front of? We are here praying and... Listen, Jesus is no joke. I was doing a quiet time this week, and the commentary said, God is not mean, but he's dangerous. Do you understand that? God is not mean, but he's dangerous. So you better watch the way you handle him. Okay, the Bible calls the God that we serve as a consuming fire. You see, fire will not hurt you. It can cook for you, you know,
make your water warm and nice, and you take a hot shower and stuff. But when you mess with fire, it will burn you. Think about it for a second. God is not mean, but he's super dangerous. We better wake up and not come here with this sense of, oh, you are lucky I'm here today. What? We are lucky you are here today. We need to be running. Every time we hear the meeting of the body, you need to be running to come here. Unless you don't really belong to this kingdom, then, well, okay. But if you belong to this kingdom, you better show up. You see, Jesus was telling this Pharisee that the kingdom I'm bringing is not a kingdom of me up here and everybody down here. Because that's how the Pharisees dealt with the society. They were all up there and everybody else bowed down to them. You know, because in them days, they were the richest people. They had the political and the religious power. Through excavation, they can identify houses of Pharisees. Because they had the best houses. They were like all up here in the society and everybody else down here. Jesus is like, no. The kingdom I'm bringing, the broken, the sinners, the tax collectors, the prostitutes, the adulterers, the whoremongers, they come. Because my kingdom is built on the foundation of unadulterated love. Love is what makes my kingdom. Do you understand what I'm saying? Love is what makes God's kingdom. Love is the reason why when I mess up, I don't run away but run towards God, because I have to go to the one who loves me the most. Love makes you do crazy things. Listen, when we fall in love in this world, do you guys remember how we were acting? Man, I remember days that I would drive by Wendy's house just to see if she was home. I would not even go in there. I'll just drive by the house. You know? Seriously. I'll be going the other direction. I'll go drive by her house just to see she was home, you know what I mean? And then look. Wendy was doing clinicals all the way on the other side of the island. I had to go to work. I had like 2-3 jobs, you know, and I was in school full time. I had no time. But Wendy calls me, she needs a ride. I'll wake up early in the morning, drive this fine chick. Drive her to clinicals. All right? Drive her to clinicals before I go to work and school. Look, love will make you do crazy things. Did you understand what I'm saying? Wait, listen. Love motivates better than fear. When you love someone, you go the extra mile. Do you understand what I'm saying? When you love someone, you go the extra mile. You do things that when you look back, you'll be like, oh, yeah. I'll still drive you to clinicals, though. You know what I'm saying? I'm just saying. Yeah. Millie, I'll still drive it, you know. Yeah. Okay. Before Millie calls me and say, hey, Daniel, what's up? You know. Yeah. Why are we ashamed and run from the one place we are called to be? You know, what motivates you to follow? Are you following Jesus because you are afraid to go to hell? I mean, is that a way to live? You know, you don't follow Jesus because you don't want to go to hell. You follow Jesus because he loves you, man. All right? Yeah. Now, don't take Jesus for granted. All right? Don't take Jesus for granted. Don't do that.
It's painful. Can you imagine you loving someone so much and they begin to take you for granted? Like they don't call you back. They don't, you know. All right? Look, our faith in Jesus has to be rock solid strong because he is the one who deserves it all. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for our brother Jesus. We thank you for his sacrifice. We thank you for his love. We thank you for his compassion. We thank you for his authority that we inherit because we follow him. Help us to understand this and help us, oh God, to really, really live in love. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.